This isn't the first time we've been worried about swine flu. We celebrated the nation's bicentennial with, among other things, the National Influenza Immunization Program of 1976. The program, in the words of one court, was designed to inoculate the country's adult population against the threat of a swine flu epidemic. That would mean all the adults in the entire United States. That same court called it the largest immunization program in this country's history, one for which Congress initially appropriated $135 million disco-era dollars. Eventually, the court reported, over 45 million Americans, or one-third of the adult population, were vaccinated. The program was prompted by the discovery in New Jersey in early 1976 of a strain of the flu virus related to one that killed millions in the pandemic of 1918 and 1919. Since 1930, the court reported, the virus had been limited to transmission among swine only, with occasional transmission from swine to human and no secondary person-to-person transmission. When that transmission became more common, Congress responded with the Swine Flu Act of 1976. Turns out that there was no swine flu epidemic that year. The historical perspective is available in a court opinion of all places because people who got sick post-vaccination sued. Congress understood that such litigation was possible, and so, with what the court called the collapse of the commercial liability insurance market and vaccine makers' worries about liability, Congress gave anyone allegedly injured by the vaccine the right to sue the government. The Swine Flu Act also wiped away any possible cause of action against the vaccine's manufacturer. So now we have in the law books swine flu history in cases like Young versus United States, Petty versus United States, and Hassler versus United States, all cases brought by people who claimed injury or illness after the swine flu vaccination. By 1981, one court reported that 4,000 people had filed administrative claims post-vaccine and that 1,500 claims were pending in federal court. Some plaintiffs didn't win their cases. Even though the government had technically accepted responsibility for injuries, the plaintiffs still had to prove causation, proof that the vaccine had caused their injury or illness. But once the government itself suggested that plaintiffs needed to show only that they had developed a distinctive neurological condition associated with the vaccine, some courts decided in the plaintiff's favor. After all, one court noted, the government spun the vaccine as a patriotic duty, personal sacrifice for the good of the country. So should the government ever again attempt something like a national swine flu immunization program, expect the experiences it had both in 1976 and in later litigation to influence some key decisions. The next time the government asks us to sacrifice for the common good in vaccinating ourselves against disease, it may also seek to immunize itself. I'm Amy Guida.